Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Talking with Heroes talk show program. I am Bob Calvert, the founder and host for today's program. For those of you listening for the first time, just a few things. One, our website address is www.talkingwithheroes.com. And our news site is thankyouforyourservice.us. We have stories added there every single day, and all the talk show programs we do have an article with that on them at the thankyouforyourservice.us. And for those of you, again, listening for the first time, we've been on the air now since December 2005. Started out like I've been doing now the last couple, 3 years, with an audio program over the Internet. And then from 2006 to 2011, everything we did was video on 5 trips to Iraq, 3 to Afghanistan, going out with many units, many brigades, many different places around Iraq and Afghanistan, and a little bit in Kuwait, basically documenting on video what most people in America hadn't heard a lot about, and a lot of them, unfortunately, maybe still haven't, and that's the progress and the positive stories, the things they were doing to help people. And so that took us into villages, and it was fun. We had hundreds of videos on our YouTube page, and we're pushing close to 300,000 now. This is with no advertising, by the way, all word of mouth, that are listening. And what's fascinating is over the last 6 months, those numbers every month are growing. They're increasing consistently. So that's exciting that our troops, what they did over there, are being seen by some of the American people. But for the past 10 months, we've had a regular Thursday night program. So some of you that maybe heard about this and you're listening, you know, here on a different day, our regular Thursday night program continues, and we've been for 10 months interviewing military support groups and veterans groups who are members of r4alliance.org. It's a fast-growing alliance just going all across the country. When I first heard about them 10 months ago, there were 19 members. Now there's over 50. Some of these organizations have groups in different cities across the country near military bases. And a lot of it is surrounding recreational therapy to help our men and women who have served and are serving and the families. And so it's really exciting to listen to all these stories. But we also agreed a little while back to a new series of programs with soldiers from the 3rd Brigade Combat Team, 25th Infantry Division. And today's program is continuing with that. And I believe we're going to be continuing this possibly till the end of the year. And tonight we're going to be talking with a 26-year Army veteran, Colonel Scott Kelly. He's the 3rd Brigade Combat Team, 25th Infantry Division commander. And 2012, this brigade, by the way, goes all the way back to Vietnam, and we'll hear a little bit about that shortly. But in 2012, they returned to their Hawaii base from Afghanistan and began the transition from the global war on terrorism to the United States pivot to Asia and Pacific area. So we're going to hear a little bit about that tonight. And Colonel Kelly, I'd like to welcome you to the program. Thank you for your service to our country.
Sir, I really appreciate being here. And up front, I got to say thanks to you for doing this program for so many years. The fact you're helping educate, you know, the American population on the great things our servicemen and women do on a regular basis is deeply appreciated by us. And I really view it as kind of a strategic effort to help us stay closer connected to the civilian population out there. So I appreciate you having me on your show today.
It's an honor to be able to continue to do this. I have some people, because of what I've gone through the last 3 years, saying, well, Bob, how much longer are you going to be able to do this? Well, it's really easy, as long as I can still get in front of a computer and have a phone. You know, because
that's a good rule of thumb, then.
Yeah, exactly. Well, if you don't mind, Colonel, if you could kind of go back a little bit and talk a little bit about, you know, maybe what led you to enlist in the Army, and just talk a little bit about your 26 years of service, for starters.
Well, you make me feel old when you say 26 years. I don't really think of myself as having that much time in, but, you know, I guess it's true. You know, I enlisted in the Army right out of high school in 1989. Really, I actually can tell people I just watched too many John Wayne movies growing up, and that was kind of what I wanted to do from a pretty young age. And after about 6 months in the Army, I kind of discovered this was really my calling, and it was something I was going to do for a long time. And then through, you know, circumstances and God's good grace, I ended up going back to college and got commissioned from the Academy in 1995, and have been serving ever since. I've been infantry, both enlisted and got commissioned back into the infantry, and I've had the fortune to serve in some great organizations. And, you know, the strength of the Army is our people, so it's always outstanding for me to get to work in different locations and get to work with the great men and women that are in the Army. And recently, of course, coming out here to Hawaii, which is my first time out here in Hawaii, I joke with all my young soldiers that are coming here for the very first duty station. I say it took me 20 years to get to Hawaii, and you guys are getting it on the first swing, so I feel very fortunate.
Absolutely. Now, did you take command there after they got back from Afghanistan or during that time?
Yeah, I sure did. So the brigade, I took command last June, and, you know, the brigade for about 2 years before that, they had just came back from Afghanistan about 3 years before I took command, or 2 years before I took command, and had really kind of been on again, off again for what the future held. And really for a couple of years, it was very uncertain. And the reason was is obviously, you know, the Afghanistan fight still going on, and, you know, still going hot and heavy at the time. So we're still pushing forces in there. And the brigade got turned on to go to Afghanistan and turned off and turned back on. It went back and forth. I say all that because the brigade, when I came into the brigade, they had not had a kind of a clear path much more than 4 to 6 months out. And, you know, great thing is our Army is very resilient. Our soldiers are very adaptable and agile, but the downside of that is that they just didn't have a kind of a focused direction in terms of they were going, because they had started to go to a CTC and it was turned back off. And these are all strategic level decisions based off of, activities that were going on in Afghanistan. And then truly the pivot to the Pacific, which, the Army was intent on holding Army forces out here in the Pacific and ensuring we remain forward postured in support of the nation's pivot to the Pacific, as everyone's aware now. And that is really how we kind of, the brigade got settled in here to not go back to Afghanistan one more time. So I picked up the brigade, joined the brigade last June. And it was we were very fortunate because we had a target on the wall, which was JRTC in May of 2015. So, you know, basically the whole team was focused very much on a JRTC deployment after, you know, 9 or 10 months of train up. So the brigade's been very fortunate. I feel very blessed in terms of just the wonderful, talented folks I'm getting to work with. They're really making the brigade be successful as we have been. But then the great part of the Army is no one trains as well as we do. And when subordinate leaders are afforded the time with the training objective on the wall of something like JRTC, you know, subordinate commanders are really allowed to put their training time together. NCOs are allowed to put in the investing in the individual training that gets young soldiers and small formations ready and combat ready. And so for the last year, that's what the brigade has been doing, very much dialed in on JRTC, which we just completed last month, and still have, in fact, a small portion of the brigade still redeploying at this time. Obviously, because we're in Hawaii, the time it takes to get us to Fort Polk, Louisiana is no small factor. And so, about 5 weeks out from deploying to JRTC, we had to start cleaning up all our equipment and getting it packed up and put onto a boat to ship it over there. And then, obviously, last week, as we finished up the JRTC rotation, we had to start doing the reverse order of it. And right now we're putting items on trains and driving them down to Beaumont, Texas, to reload them on a boat. And then they will sail pretty much during the whole month of June back here to Hawaii. And we'll start offloading them at that time. And that'll kind of close out JRTC for us in terms of the physical piece of it. But, you know, the real key for the Army is learning organizations. And so as we come out of JRTC, it was such an incredible experience for, you know, both individual soldiers and units as a whole, that we're very set on intending to make all those lessons learned part of who we are. So we start to change our standard operating procedures. We start to update our you know, tactics, techniques, and procedures that we use. And so all this great learning we got to do during the month of May in Fort Polk, Louisiana, we begin to kind of inculcate into just how we do business as a brigade. So it transcends a single individual's experience at JRTC, and it begins to become part of the unit. And that's how, you know, collectively the unit gets better.
Wow, appreciate you sharing that. Yeah, you're with a brigade clearly that has a history that's amazing. 12 Vietnam campaigns, and then, what, 2 different times to Afghanistan, 2 different times to Iraq. And so can you talk some about what you're training for, what you're preparing for? Because I've been told, you know, you're going to some countries, and I wasn't really sure exactly what you were doing there. I don't know how much you can talk about, but whatever you can share. No.
I would love to, yeah. So, yeah, the history and lineage of this brigade, like many other brigades, is steeped in, you know, legacy or legends, if you will, in terms of just great soldiers and great units that have performed remarkable under very tough and demanding conditions. And the of course, you know, we build upon that. You know, we stand on the shoulders of giants that have gone before us. And so that tradition and lineage of soldiers and non-commissioned officers and officers who've built such a tremendous legacy in both our battalions and at the brigade level is very important to us. And so we kind of move with that history, if you will, and become part of it, and obviously attempt to live up to it. So what we're the JRTC rotation was decisive action focus. So that's combined arms maneuver, and it's different from what the Army has been doing for the last 12 years in Iraq and Afghanistan, which were essentially more counterinsurgency focused, as I'm sure you're, you know, very familiar with your listeners are. So what the Army is recognizing is that though we have really mastered some incredible counterinsurgency methods, and we have become very proficient at a lot of those skill sets, we have allowed to atrophy the combined arms maneuver, kind of the traditional war fighting, if you think of it, when you know, two armies clash in combat. And so what the Army's doing with the CTCs is they're dialing them back to decisive action, combined arms maneuver, as they call it, a date rotation, if you will, decisive action environment. And it's really kind of to not lose what we have learned in the coin fight, not replace all those great experiences and capabilities that we've developed, but really what we need to do is begin adding additional tools for units and individual leaders to be able to synchronize the combined arms fight. And it is very challenging to do, and particularly, you know, in the formation, anybody at the grade of general major and below, you know, E8 and below, haven't really done it because, you know, since 9/11, for the right reasons, we were very focused on counterinsurgency operations. I say all that because that our whole train up to JRTC was really focused on, you know, the decisive action fight and the ability to do that. However, the beauty of JRTC is it really becomes a hybrid environment. So while we were doing what you think of as traditional combat, we also had this huge, large portion of it that was more counterinsurgency, having to work with the interagency, having to deal with a insurgent, low-level insurgent threat. At the same time, we were having to, you know, fight a near-peer type enemy, you know, so an enemy that had capabilities similar to ours. So what that's done for our brigade is now have, you know, guys who have experience in counterinsurgency operations. They have background in it and a lot of capabilities with it. But we're now adding to them the ability to do combined arms maneuver. So post JRTC, that's kind of I say all that, Bob, just to give you a sense of, you know, kind of the level of training and what we've been focusing on. Now, what we're going to do now is transition into Pacific Pathways. And Pacific Pathways is essentially a method of deploying formations into the Pacific region to do theater security cooperation where we engage with partners. So what we're doing is taking several discrete exercises with partner nation forces, that some of which have been going on for literally decades, and we're combining them into a single operation under the name or umbrella of Pacific Pathways. So my formation, we literally just loaded a boat here in Hawaii yesterday to set sail for Australia. And basically during the month of Australia, we will be executing an exercise, a combined exercise with one of the brigades out of the Australian Army. And it will be probably the best analogy I can give. It will be like JRTC, the Joint Readiness Training Center. We will be doing essentially combined arms maneuver, two brigades, working jointly and collaboratively under a, division headquarters. Now, my brigade is in a reduced footprint. It's not my full brigade going. It's really about a battalion plus that'll be there with my brigade headquarters. Great news is my full brigade staff and one of my battalion's full staff will essentially get another JRTC rotation. So I'm feeling very blessed as a commander to get that experience a couple times now this summer. But that will basically take us the full month of July. It'll be about a 14-18-day rotation, and we will execute, like I said, a lot like JRTC in terms of confined arms maneuver and all that goes with that. After we do that, we will have a short period in there for a couple weeks where we will do local training, if you will, in Australia. Focused on a lot of the lessons learned, that we take from JRTC, a lot of the lessons learned we took from that exercise in Australia, just to increase our readiness and improve our readiness while we're there in Australia. From there, we will, the boat will pack up all our stuff and start floating, and then the bulk of us will fly over to Indonesia. And in Indonesia, there will be kind of a couple separate events that are going on, one of which will be a brigade-level CPX, command post exercise. And that's essentially where my brigade staff, along with an Indonesian staff and actually an Army National Guard staff, will all be brigades executing what's the scenario is a peacekeeping-type operation. But we'll all be collaboratively working together, but it's a command post exercise, meaning that we won't have troops really working for us. So each of the brigades will have simulated, formations working under them, but then collectively at the brigade levels, we'll all be working collaboratively in this peacekeeping operation. So, tremendous opportunity there for us to, work the total Army in terms of the National Guard being there. Obviously, tremendous opportunity to partner with our Indonesian allies and help share tactics, techniques, and procedures, help share SOPs in terms of how we do peacekeeping-type operations. And obviously, undergirding all of that is just the relationships that we build between our two nations. As you're probably aware, those relationships that are formed at different echelons last for years, and it really makes a huge difference. Hopefully we don't have to ever go to war out in that theater, but building those relationships really pays dividends. Now, while we're in Indonesia, there'll be a battalion. One of my battalions will be there, and they'll be doing essentially some company level training, some jungle operations type training partnered with the Indonesian forces. And that's the same idea, collaborative learning there. Obviously those guys have some great expertise in jungle warfare, and we have experience at it, but helping to share TTPs and just best practices so we all get better. And then the final piece after we leave Indonesia, and Indonesia will be generally speaking in August, later part of August. Then in September we transition to Malaysia. And Malaysia will look similar. It'll be a little bit smaller footprint total. At the brigade level, I'm real excited for, because at the brigade level, it'll be a combined staff. So I will literally be the deputy commander to a Malaysian officer. He'll be the commander of the formation. I'll be the deputy, and we'll have counterparts like that throughout the staff. And in that scenario, we'll be working humanitarian assistance and disaster relief operations. So a phenomenal opportunity for very close collaboration there, and really working, you know, as you may be aware, the Pacific experiences a tremendous number of humanitarian crisis and humanitarian assistance requirements just because of the nature of tsunamis and flooding and those type of things that go on. So that's a key piece for what we need to be able to bring to the table. And there in Malaysia, obviously, we'll get a great chance to work it collaboratively with our Malaysian counterparts. And then same thing in Malaysia, as I discussed in Indonesia, you know, below the brigade level, you're going to have a battalion out there executing live fires with partner forces, doing full training with partner forces, doing jungle operations. So, you know, the great thing is it's at echelons, you know, from literally squad leaders, platoon leaders, you know, company level leadership up to, you know, my level at the brigade. We're doing partnered training with forces across the Pacific, and it's really a great opportunity for us to get out. And that's really kind of the follow on that you know, the PACOM commander sees for, you know, an Army unit goes to a CTC from Hawaii or Alaska or Fort Lewis. And then they are deployed out into the Pacific theater. So, you know, obviously we're bringing a lot of readiness that we've just built up by our train up and our exercising down at JRTC. And then we take that forward into the theater and begin investing it in our partnered forces as we begin to tighten our relationships up. And obviously the Pacific region being having some contentious areas in the South China Sea and such, our presence mm-hmm. out there, our partnership really reassures our allies, you know, and certainly gives notice to those who would maybe act not in accordance with international law and norms.
Wow. You're all going to be really busy. How long, like, the time period, like, for instance, Malaysia yeah. and Indonesia?
Yeah, so we will probably be leaving here on about, you know, the bulk of folks going out about the 26th, 28th of June, and then the main body will return about the 22nd of September. Australia is the largest, or excuse me, the longest exercise, mm-hmm. and it'll probably be about 5 weeks total there. And then the other two are a little more discreet, 3 weeks and 3 weeks about on average for Indonesia and Malaysia. And the other last one I forgot to mention is we actually are sending a unit to Philippines as well. Now, that'll be like a company size element with some higher headquarters. They're going to go out there and do some partner work with the Philippine platoon and shoot some live fires. So that'll be happening right at the end of July, August as well. So, yeah, I forgot to mention that one. If you thought we were busy, we are even busier than you thought. So.
Yeah, you're even busier. Wow, that's going to be interesting. Well, I'll keep in touch with Second Lieutenant Lee and Captain Roman when she gets back, see if we can get a team put together to embed with at least part of it. I don't know about Australia. It may be too soon to pull that together, but we'll keep in touch on that. That would be exciting.
Yeah, I would love to have you be a part of that. And I'll tell you, one of the greatest factors for the Pacific Pathways concept is, you know, soldiers join the Army to do things. You know, a lot of these guys signed up during a time of war, and they, you know, they want to serve, and they want to, you know, they want to have adventures, if you will. And what we've recognized mm-hmm. is, you know, literally JRTC alone, deploying to Louisiana and getting that experience, guys are excited about, and they like, you know, I hate to say it, but they kind of like playing Army. I mean, that's real Army stuff, and they got a real chance to do it.
Sure.
It was great, very high morale. Guys are excited about it. But then if you think about going out and seeing, going to a foreign country, getting to train with foreign partners, you know, executing jungle operations with guys who, you know, live it every day, guys are really excited for it. So I would love for you to be able to have some folks come out and share that story to the the broader Army, but certainly the broader population of the United States. Just all the great work there, guys and girls are getting to do out there.
Good. Well, I'll do everything I can to get a team put together. Definitely.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So anything?
I was going to say, and if not, certainly we'll line some guys up to talk with you as they start flowing back from their trips. We'd love to have them get up on the station with your this program with you and kind of tell the story of what they got to experience out there, because it's a different culture. There's it's not the US of A anymore. So.
Sure. Maybe we could set up, since you brought that up, I hadn't thought about that, but maybe we could set up a call from Australia. Maybe get some of the Australian leadership involved with it. I don't know. It's whatever you think you can do
from
there.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I think we could even do calls from forward.
Yeah, I've been to Australia before. It's a long time ago, but it's definitely beautiful over there. I wish we could pull this off quicker to get over there, but I don't know. But anyway, if you want to set up plan a call, let me know a little bit ahead of time so we can set it up. But, I'm sure people will want to hear that, especially hearing from, leadership with the Australian military, too.
Yeah, we would love to do that. We'll try to we'll take that one for action. We'll set something up. Yeah, I don't know if we could get any of our partner forces to share a joint space on the radio, but I think that's a great idea to be able to, listen to us both give our, the benefits of what we've seen out of it and, some of the challenges in working together.
Great. What would you say, Colonel, to the American people as far as continuing to support our troops? I mean, I know we hear the politics, the wars over in Afghanistan, but yet we still have thousands of troops there, and we have troops in Iraq and, of course, many other places. What would you say to the American people about, realizing they still need to be supporting them?
I would up front, I would say that unfortunately, I believe peace has broken out in my time. I say that with disappointment, because obviously no one pays a higher burden for wartime footing than our soldiers and our families. So I do ask the American people just to continue supporting your soldiers. It is it's absolutely critical for us to know that the national population is behind us. And I'll tell you, a very tangible way of doing that is, just quite frankly, helping veterans, hire a veteran, help out veterans that are, in college trying to get degrees. Our veteran community, how the nation cares for our veterans is a direct reflection of how they care for their Army, if you will. And so that's one specific one I would ask folks to do. And then just please keep in mind that we do have guys in harm's way, and they are continuing, guys and girls, in harm's way. And so just keep them in your thoughts and prayers. And obviously, anytime you can make connections to soldiers, I would ask them to do that. Unfortunately, kind of up front, when I said to you, Bob, is how important I think this kind of radio, this show is, as we begin to try and tighten the connection between civilian population and our military forces. It's very important. And unfortunately, because we have so few of the population that serve or have served, I really feel the chasm, there's a drift between us, between our military and the civilian population. So I would ask that the American people, however they can, stay connected. The beauty of social media, is you can follow the Army's Facebook page, or, I'm sure my brigade has a Facebook page, though I honestly couldn't tell you what the call sign of it is, but,
sure,
lash in to adopt the unit and just follow what the soldiers do and what all goes on. I think it would be, that connection, helping the civilian population understand our daily life and what we do is very important. And I encourage my guys to do the same way. Anytime, I can speak with people who aren't affiliated with the military, just to understand their perspective, to help them understand our perspective. It's very, very important to us. And I mean that as a nation. It's very important to us that our military forces don't become some separate, entity not closely tied to the population of the country.
Absolutely. By the way, on your Facebook page, it's on Facebook, it's the number 3, number 2, number 5, ID Broncos. That'll pull up your Facebook page, and then on Twitter it's Bronco hashtag Bronco Brigade. I wrote that down so I didn't forget it.
Hey, thanks, Bob. I appreciate that. Somebody usually has to pull it up for me to show me it.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I got, in my age, you know, social networking, I got that answer kind of kicking and screaming, no, I want to do something else. But I'll tell you what, it's become a major part of getting the word out. You mentioned a part about hiring veterans, supporting the troops. The reason I dedicated all my Thursday night programs now, and it could roll into next year because it's growing so fast, is R4Alliance.org.
Yeah.
I mean, most of the organizations are led by veterans, you know, and
that's
they know what's not happening to help them, and they know what they need, and they're doing it, man. And it's just, you know, our goal right now is just to get what they're doing out there, to, like you said, to the majority of the population, because there's a lot they can do to help.
Good. That's great, Bob. And I really appreciate you doing that, supporting those organizations. And I agree with you. I got to buy into the social media. It's, you know, I'm going in with trepidation, but I need to get on board with it.
Well, if you do, we'll connect. So speaking of our troops who are serving around the world, obviously your brigade too, would you like to give a shout-out to them?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you, well, two shout-outs then from me. One is to all the soldiers of the Task Force Bronco, you know, and that went to JRTC with us. We got guys from Virginia, from American Samoa, Guam, literally all over the world, all over the continental United States. It was, I couldn't have been prouder for the work that men and women did coming together there in Louisiana, and just tremendous work. I was so proud to be a part of the team. It was really, really phenomenal. And obviously I'd like to just give my thoughts and prayers to the soldiers that are forward still in harm's way, and you know, certainly continuing to pray for their families that are you know, that are separated from them. Because I'm just I'm grateful for all those the soldiers and leaders that continue to serve.
Appreciate that. So I realize, based in Hawaii, you probably keep in touch with family a lot better than, say, deployment to Iraq, Afghanistan, or something. But hey, would you like to give a shout out to family and friends?
Oh, yeah, sure. You know, it's funny. I joke with guys, you know, I'm an East Coast Southern guy, and so every time I get off work and I go to call my mom, she's in bed already. So I do, I do miss a lot of calls. But, yeah, we'll say I love you to all the family back in North Carolina. God bless you. I hope you all are doing well. And come out and see me sometime in Hawaii, because the water's great.
Great. Well, thank you very much again for your service to our country, and I appreciate you taking the time to share this with the American people, and look forward to more we can do to help your brigade and soldiers and all that, and get your message out.
Absolutely, sir. I really appreciate you, and I do mean it. Like I said up front, really thank you for doing this program. You clearly have a heart for soldiers and the military service members. I appreciate all you do.
Well, we can blame my daughter for that. Just kidding. If she hadn't enlisted in the Army back in 2002 now, I doubt I'd be ever thought of doing this. So you never know how, in my estimation, how God's going to change your life. You know, it's like all of a sudden you've got a whole new mission in life. So,
amen,
okay, well,
brother.
Thank
He's
you
got
very
a sovereign
much.
Plan, so. Good.
Yep,
thanks,
exactly.
Bless you.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. And, well, okay. Folks, you've been listening here on TalkingWithHeroes.com to Colonel Scott Kelly, the commander, 3rd Brigade Combat Team, 25th Infantry Division. Again, on Facebook, you'll find them at 325 ID Broncos on Facebook. On Twitter, you'll find them on Bronco Brigade, hashtag Bronco Brigade. And we are going to be doing more of these programs, so this will be in addition to our Thursday night program with R4 Alliance members. And I always like to ask this. I do it on all our programs. Actually, we did it on all the videos we just did at the Face of America Ride late April with WorldTeamSports.org. You know, we don't have money for advertising. We live on a small fixed income. And so it's all, we're depending on word of mouth, you helping get the word out. And you, like Colonel was talking about, social networking. You're on Facebook, Twitter, and some of these other social networking pages. You can connect with us. And then when we post the stories of these shows, you can share them. Put your comments about what you heard. We really appreciate that. Well, I never like to end a program without also giving a shout-out to our troops from me and all of our team, and especially for those of you who are in harm's way. Be safe. Stay alert. God bless all of you for your service to our country. God bless you. God bless America.